Welcome to episode 396 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we're talking about, be sure to check us out on a YouTube channel by searching for Fly Away Podcast. And then you can see us. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Lindsay, Donna, and George. Istanbul is a city steeped in contrasts. It was first called Byzantium by the Greek settlers who landed there in the 7th century BCE. The city changed its name to Constantinople because Istanbul is Constantinople. Sorry. It's like in my head every time. When it became the capital of the Roman Empire in 330 CE under Emperor Constantine, it was a major stop on the Silk Road to the Orient by land and sea traders, including Marco Polo. For almost 500 years under the Ottoman Empire, Constantinople housed the Sultan and the centralized government. By 1923, Ankara became the capital of Turkey under the new democratic government, but Constantinople held onto its past while transforming into a modern city. The city adopted the name Istanbul in 1930. Istanbul is a cosmopolitan city built on the ruins of the old empire with a true mix of cultures and religion. And I can't wait to hear about this. So let's get started. So Donna, why were you in Istanbul?
I actually took a river cruise on the Danube, and this was actually a pre-cruise, which is interesting because usually a pre-cruise does not involve a flight, but it did.
Yeah,
because we actually got on in Romania. So we actually had to fly to Bucharest in order to like get onto the cruise. But it was really quite neat flying into Istanbul. It's a brand new airport. They've only been open just a few years. It's huge. It's actually relatively easy to get in and out of. And of course, Turkish Airlines is the nation's airlines. And so there's, you know, Turkish Air everywhere. And they usually price very well. So, but they usually, the problem is that if you're going to Europe, you've got to go all the way to Turkey in order to get to Europe. But the price, like I said, they price very well as far as airfare. So
that's cool. I mean, I could do a stop in Turkey on the way to like the Med. Right?
I actually kind of avoided it before, but now that I've been there, I think I would definitely do that.
Yeah.
The only downside is the airport, because it's a brand new airport. It's actually quite a ways outside of the city. Mm. And so it took a good 45 minutes to actually get into town.
Mm. So this was part of the cruise line's itinerary.
It was actually.
That's
yes.
Cool. Yes. Yeah. You don't see Turkey a lot on river cruise itineraries. So that's really
No.
Nice. So how are they with COVID right now? Are they pretty wide open? Did you have to do anything special?
No. Nothing. The only thing basically we had to do, because most of them were mosques, and so you have to observe the customs of the religion that is there. So we did have to wear, women had to wear headscarves when we went into the mosques, and men and women both couldn't wear anything that exposed their shoulders or their knees.
Okay.
So you had to dress appropriately in order to go into the mosques.
That
was it.
Cool. So how many days were you there?
2.5.
Did you feel
honestly,
like
that was not enough?
Yeah, so I was going to say, was it enough? Because
it was all jam packed in. But what's really cool is most of what we did was all in a matter of about 10 blocks.
So was it all guided? Or were you?
It was. That was one of the really cool things. We had actually our own personal guide, and they basically took us around and actually did, they didn't hand us off to anybody. It was the girl that basically was responsible for us the whole time. She's the one who actually had all the knowledge and everything. And she really knew her stuff. I was impressed, because I studied Roman history. And so I knew a lot going into this about the Roman Empire.
Nice.
You could spend 2.5 days just in that first section of the Grand Bazaar.
Yeah, but I'd be poor. So that's the only problem, is I couldn't spend that kind of time because I'd be broke.
So is Istanbul really the largest city in Europe?
It is, actually. So wow. She was saying that a couple of years ago, the population was 15 million. Mm-hmm. So it is actually the largest city in Europe. But right now they've basically gotten about 5 million refugees from Syria as well as from Ukraine. Yeah. And so, yeah, their population is now 20 million people, and that's bigger than any other city in Europe.
Wow.
And it's one of the it's the only city in the world to actually straddle two continents. You actually have one section of the city that is actually in Europe, and you have bridges that connect it. And then you have the other side, which is the Asian side. That's and so cool. What's interesting is all of the business and commerce and everything is all pretty much situated on the European side, and on the Asian side is mostly residential.
Okay.
And it is ways out. And so because most people work on the European side and live on the European side, that's kind of out in the country.
So where are all the mosques and palaces and stuff that you visited, that on the European side?
On the European side. Okay. And actually Istanbul has over 4,000 of them. And you can see them everywhere because they've got the minarets that actually stand up. I wonder if it would probably give Prague a run for its money with all the towers.
Wow. So so your first one you have listed here is Topkapi
Palace. So this is an interesting palace because I've never seen one quite like this. So it's actually got four palaces and four courtyards, and you walk in the oldest section. And that basically was from from the 1400s. Mm-hmm. And it's all stone. There's really not much as far as decoration. There are a few frescoes that are still there, but really it's a stone building, and it's so old. And that was the original palace of the Sultan in the 1400s. Wow. And then what happened was, is actually as you got further and further into it, it was newer and newer and newer and newer palaces. They basically just built on. And at one time, the palace itself held 10,000 people that worked in the palace, because it wasn't just a residence. It actually was also the central government. So you had servants, and you had wives, and you had slaves, and you had government officials, and they all lived in this palace and, you know, basically conducted business and conducted government and everything all there. And what was interesting is that the Sultan was never part of the government. He had viziers and things like that that basically ran the government, but he had little windows that had screens on it, so he could hear everything that was going on, but he never made an appearance because that would be, you know, that would be uncalled for and, you know, just too much for the audience. He was very, very isolated and pampered.
So the next one you have listed is
Hagia Sophia,
1,000 years earlier.
Yes. Well, this actually was built during the Roman Empire, and it was the original church. And in 500 AD. But the thing was, is that particular building, that church has actually been there. It's actually been rebuilt three times. Mm-hmm. And so that's an interesting space because, of course, it was a Catholic, Roman Catholic Christian church. Mm-hmm. And then it became a mosque. And what is interesting about it is because, so during the iconoclasm I don't want to say the 1200s, basically that's when they basically got rid of images of saints and Christ and everything in the churches. And that's what really had it happened with the Protestant Reformation. Well, Islam was happening at the same time. And so that's why you're not going to find images of people in a mosque. But the thing is they actually went through and actually covered over some of the figures, and they put screens up for some of the other figures, but you can kind of see around them. So it's still there, but they left one exposed because they realized that it was a treasure that should be treasured. that they shouldn't cover it up. And so they left it. And who knows? I mean, they may come along in the future and actually cover up the images and paint over them, but who knows? At this point, there is one angel and you can see Christ, you can see Mary and Jesus and all. But who knows? They may cover those up at one time.
This is the famous one that you see when you see pictures of Istanbul mostly, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's been, like I said, it's been there since the 500s and it's been rebuilt a couple of times because it did burn.
Didn't it recently get changed back to like an official mosque?
Like, it became a mosque and then actually recently it actually became a historical landmark. Okay. So yes, it's still a mosque.
I heard that they were like doing ceremonies in it now and stuff.
They do. They have services in it. And we had to wait for services to be over and everything. And of course we were there during Ramadan. So they were having services and all as well. And what was interesting is, so for us, Christmas is Christmas lights and you've got lights everywhere. Mm-hmm. For Ramadan, they basically had a phrase that was actually suspended between two of the minarets, and that's it. That was the decoration for Ramadan.
Wow.
So, but we would go out at night when, of course, they're getting ready to break the fast, and you couldn't walk for all the people picnicking.
Oh wow!
It was so funny to see it like that.
Yeah, because people, they don't eat during the day, right?
They don't. Yes. Well, they did say that not everybody is a super practicing Muslim, so those people tend to, or especially if they are working during that, and they don't have the energy. But if they're, you know, if they can do it, they do.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So did you go to the Blue Mosque?
Yes. And actually, so this is interesting. So they're, like I said, this is all in the matter of just a couple of blocks of each other. The Blue Mosque is kind of opposite of Hagia Sophia. And that one, it was a beautiful mosque, but you really couldn't see it because they had scaffolding everywhere.
Yeah.
So I got a few pictures, but yeah, it really didn't, but I did find, they did take us to a smaller one. And it was very reminiscent of the Blue Mosque. It had all the tile work, and it was very blue in color, but it was much smaller and much more non-touristy than the big Blue Mosque. So it was really nice to see the contrast.
Okay, cool. So I want to just kind of interrupt, because like you have listed a bunch of places, but I want to kind of get a feel of what Turkey is like, you know, because I think of it as Muslim or, you know, Islamic, whatever, but do people drink there? Do they have, I mean, is it?
Well, it's about 90% Islam. But there's a brewery. I was shocked. There's a brewery and they produce beer. I actually bought some while I was there. It's not very common, but of course it is a big, tourist destination. Mm-hmm. So all the hotels and everything had bars and things like that. And all the restaurants, you could get a beer or get a drink or whatever. They're really kind of cool about it. If you are practicing, then you don't drink. And if you aren't, then it's okay.
So are there nightclubs and stuff, or is it just kind
of? Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, we were walking through, and I mean, they've got neon signs and restaurants and everything. So, yes, there's a big night scene. And it's also, there's lots of people walking around at night, especially, like I said, during Ramadan, everybody was walking around. So I'm really curious to see how it would be not during Ramadan.
Yeah, that's interesting that you got to go at that time, you know.
Yes, yes. Unique.
So what's the Grand Bazaar? Is the Grand Bazaar and the Spice Market, are they kind of in the same area?
They're close. The Grand Bazaar is light fixtures, carpets, lots of Turkish delight and spices. Any kind of knockoff you could probably want. You want the fake Fendi? Well, you know what? You can get it at the Grand Bazaar, or the fake Nikes and things like that. There was lots and lots and lots of those.
You know what else you can get there is a whole lot of Lost.
Yes.
You can get a whole lot of that there. Because yes. All of the booths there, you go inside and you, if you go downstairs and you think you're in the same place, you're not, you're somewhere completely different. Yes. And now you're in a different section. And it is the biggest maze I've ever been in my life.
Yes, it is. And you try, it's like, okay, I was right next to this jewelry store, but you know what? It looks just like this other jewelry store. So is this the Turkish Delight stand, or is this other Turkish Delight stand? So
did your guide stay with you?
No, she let, and I told her, I said, you know what? Don't worry about me. I'll find my way back to the hotel. Yeah. And I did. But yeah, it does. All the stores look alike. So it's, and they're all called the same thing. So it's really hard to kind of figure out where you are.
That experience, the buying culture is completely different there than it is anywhere else, I think, in the world that I've ever been in. So when we were there, we weren't ready for when someone comes up to you when you're in a stall or a store, you assume it's the shopkeeper. Oh, but it might not be. It might be somebody from a store that's not even in the bazaar, that's like blocks away.
Yes. and they're all cousins. Oh, you need to come over to my cousin's store and check this stuff out.
You need to come. I'm gonna help you get a good price on this tea, and then I want you to come to my rug shop six blocks away.
But I mean, you can find some bargains. The silver jewelry is actually very reasonable. And you know, of course, the Turkish, I mean, you can buy, you know, a whole thing of Turkish Delight for like $20. It was pretty reasonable.
It's visually very appealing. So even if you're not a shopper, if you're a person who likes photography or you like to people watch, it's an amazing experience. I have one of my favorite pictures of my husband I took in the Grand Bazaar, and it's with the lamps behind him, down one of the hallways. And it was really cool.
But yeah, they'll try and get you to come into their little shop or their little stall. And it's like, sometimes you just have to, you know, always look ahead. Don't talk, just keep going.
Don't talk to them. Okay. did you change your money over?
No, they took euros.
Oh, they took euros. Okay.
Yeah, you really didn't need, you didn't need their Turkish lira.
I know when I was in Hungary, there were a couple stalls in the market that wouldn't take my credit card. They wanted cash, and I hadn't gotten any yet. So
yeah, most places took the euros, so you really didn't have to worry too much about that. So
tell me about the spice market. Did you buy some spice?
I did. So it was interesting. So, you know, I have some Camino that's been in my, you know, pantry for years, because I bought a bunch of it, and then, you know, I've used it over years and it's still there. Now, so I bought some fresh, and it was interesting how it actually, how it tasted.
What is that used in, Donna, for people who don't cook?
Tacos.
Tacos?
Tacos, any kind of Mexican food. Yeah. And so I got some fresh and tasted, and it tasted quite, you know, grassier and just earthier than it normally does. What's interesting is, though, they do have saffron as well, but they get it from Iran, because it's actually the Iranians. Saffron is better than the Turkish saffron, and they'll tell you this is so much better. So you know what, we sell the Iranian saffron. But you could find teas, you could find any kind of spice that you would want for your spice rack. They had it there, so, and it was all fresh. The only problem is that I used this much and they wanted to sell me this much. Yeah. So I mean, just
divvy it up to your friends, you know.
Yeah.
Well, with a little baggie. Right?
So I got thinking this about little this at tiny all, baggie. Sandy. It looked like,
I know, obviously not.
It looked like marijuana, but you know what? It was Camino that I can grind myself. And they're like,
I bet TSA absolutely loved.
They're like, we don't even know how to total this up. It doesn't. The scale doesn't even go that low. Just take it. I'm like, okay.
So how did you get that home, Donna? Did you check that, or did you?
Yeah, I stuffed it in my suitcase.
She just tried not to walk by any of the dogs in the airport.
It doesn't smell like weed. It smells like Camino.
Yeah.
So
But you checked it, right? You didn't.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's something that if they had to open your bag for anything going through TSA with a carry-on.
Of course. Yes. No, I don't. No. Everything went in the checked bag. So, but yeah, if you're looking for fresh spices, fresh curry, fresh paprika, fresh anything, that is definitely the place to go.
Yeah. Where else did you go? Did you go into the, I can't even remember what it's called now. Did you go look at the clothing? Did you go look at the silk or the?
No. I was jewelry shopping. So, but I did buy a light fixture.
Oh, that's cool.
I bought a light fixture. I did a light fixture. Yes. I bought.
How'd you get that home?
lots of bubble wrap in my checked luggage.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the thing is, probably 2 feet tall.
Wow.
So.
Oh, wow.
Yes. But it's hand-blown glass. And, if I bought it in the States, it'd cost a lot more than I paid for it. So.
Did you bring an empty suitcase with you to?
Uh-huh. Okay. And then I bought another one. Well, the empty suitcase is to carry beer.
Yeah.
Then I bought another one to carry all the other stuff.
Wow.
Oh, you pulled a Lindsay.
Yes. Yes, I did.
So Turkish.
Well, I was gone for 3 weeks, so it was inevitable.
Yeah. So that you visited a Turkish bath?
Yes. Now this is quite interesting. So I've been to the baths in Budapest, and I've been to other types of baths throughout Europe, and they're all pools. You go in from one pool to the next to the next to the next. Turkish baths are not really baths. I didn't know this. I didn't quite know what to expect. So I dragged my mom and I got her a foot rub and I got a massage, a full body massage. But what's interesting, so they have what's called the hammam, and it's a giant room. And I'm not quite sure how it's heated, but it is heated. And it's all marble, white marble. Mm-hmm. And they have a giant, I guess it's an octagon or something in the middle of the room.
Is it was it heated? Was the table heated?
Yes. But this thing was probably 30 feet across. I mean, it's huge. And so what they do is you basically strip down, you lay on the thing, and they have an attendant come in and scrub you. And it's all open. I mean, all the women are laying there and someone is just sitting there scrubbing you.
The scrub is like this olive. It's very unique. It's oil and olive, right? And something.
I didn't get the scrub. What is it called? What happened? But I kind of watched. I didn't stare, but I was watching while somebody else was getting scrubbed, just to understand what was going on. But they do have some alcoves off the side of it, and they're filled with basins. There are no showers. So you fill the basin with the hot water, which they actually had even back in the 1400s, they had hot water. And so you fill the basin with hot water and then you kind of splash yourself down with a bowl. So you got water on you, and then you sit there with the soap and do your shampoo and everything, and then use the little basin or the little dish to pour water over you.
So you're naked.
Yes.
Are you...
Sandy asking the important questions.
I mean, we're all wondering. Okay. So are you in your own little room with a door shut?
Well, there were three
with all these people.
There's no door. But there were three stations in the room I was in, mm-hmm. but I was the only one in there. But in this big room in the center, I mean, cause you figure this is, it's a big dome that you're under. This octagon is 30 feet across.
So you're all naked in there?
Yes. You can have 10 women getting scrubbed all at the same time.
That's 30 feet is a good social distancing.
Yes. So then once you're clean and everything, once you're clean, then you go in and you go into the other room and you sit on these fluffy couches and they serve you Turkish delight.
Are you still naked?
No, you have a robe on now. You have a robe on now. They serve you Turkish delight and this really kind of bitter Turkish tea, and they serve you water and this almost like glue vine. It's a heated spiced wine as well, and then you go up and get your massage, and then you come down and they feed you again. you know, while you're just kind of relaxing, you know, after your massage. So it was quite interesting.
I like that they incorporate food into this. That's my kind of a spa experience.
Yeah, they had the little, like the gummies. Yes. And so, yeah, there was some food. And if you wanted more, you just
what kind of gummies? What?
They were pomegranate.
Okay.
Pomegranate gummies. And then they're like wrapped in or dusted with powdered sugar.
It's giving me a great business idea for Washington State.
So yeah, so it was, I mean, it wasn't what I was expecting, but it honestly, it was one of the best massages I've ever had, because the lady, it only twice, and this was the second time, have I ever had to say, you know what, that's too much. Can you back off a little? Mm-hmm. Because she was like super tough.
Yeah.
And got in all those like cricks and crevices where my muscles were just so tight.
There's so much history to that ritual in the hammam room. Did they tell you anything about that? Did you learn? Because it takes a long time to be able to become one of the people who does that.
No, they really didn't. It was all split. So there was a male side and a female side. So they do not mix.
So I wish Elizabeth was on tonight, because she had a, I want to say it was a Turkish bath, but it was in Germany and they did mix. So she can comment in the show notes whenever she watches the YouTube video. We'll see.
There's one of the hammam rooms at that spa that I went to, the hotel I stayed at in Budapest, this last trip. They have one of the rooms. They don't have I went to the spa too, thinking like there was going to be a hot tub or whatever. Nothing.
It's quite a bit different than I was expecting, but it was good.
I got to try the scrub and everything. They don't have the person there yet, because she said that it's such an intense training that they have to go through, and they have to pass so many. I guess it's very interesting. I'd just love to learn more about.
But that place had been there since the 1500s. Wow. So, I mean, it was, you could tell by the building on the outside that it was one of those older buildings, but the inside was completely redone and remodeled. So
did your mom enjoy her foot?
She said it was a little tough. I says, well, then you tell them to back off, you know, but again, I needed that. I'm so thank you. So thankful that you made me do this.
Those are the best ones when it hurts. I hate to say that because it sounds very masochistic, but it
really loosens it up.
The whatever, I don't even know, whatever that stuff is, the lactic acid or whatever is built up wherever and gets things.
I agree.
When you're the harder I cry during, the better I feel.
I'm in the same boat.
Yes. He wants like people's elbows up and down his spine and all that.
Oh, well,
I don't want it, but it's the place to go.
That's so cool, Donna. That's something I've always wanted to do, and I've always been curious about.
If you get to Istanbul, and it was literally across an alley from my hotel.
Yeah.
So
I was there, but we didn't have enough time. Well, we were there for a few days too, but we didn't have enough time to squeeze that in.
Well, you and I will just have to go again.
We'll just have to go back. So what else did you do? I know you didn't.
Well, we did a Bosporus cruise. And so what was interesting is they asked us, they said, do you want to do this? And we're like, yeah. They said, well, it's going to be 65 euros per person. We're like, okay, no problem. I mean, when are we going to get the chance to do this again? And we thought we were going to be one of those big ferry boats with hundreds of people. Oh no, they rented a yacht for us.
Ooh.
A fancy yacht that had its own bartender and, you know, its own, I mean, it had a bathroom on the boat. So yes, that was fantastic. So we went out and did the Bosporus cruise, and they pointed out all the other, you know, other areas. Where the cruise ships dock, that's actually kind of a newer section of Istanbul. We were in the old city, and we saw several cruise ships in port that day. They took us around to the Asian side, and you could see how sparsely populated it was comparatively to the European side. And what was interesting is that you out in towards the Mediterranean, and as you're going through the Straits of the Dardanelles, there were probably 200 ships out there waiting to to get into the Black Sea. They had to basically get clearance from the Turkish government. So it was interesting to see all those ships out there just kind of waiting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So talk about the food. I mean, you talked a little bit about what they fed you in the spa or the bath. But you keep mentioning Turkish delight, and I keep thinking of the Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe.
Well, there's two. Yes. So there's actually a couple. There's different kinds. There's the gummies. They're like gummies, and some of them have nuts, some of them don't. And they're usually a flavor. So you're going to have the red ones are going to be kind of, or the pinkish ones are going to be pomegranate, and they've got ones that are like greenish. I believe those are apple. And they've got a yellow one that's a lemon. It's actually a Mediterranean climate, so they grow a lot of the same kinds of things that you do in Greece. So olives and lemons and things like that.
And they're like dusted with?
Like powdered sugar. Right? Yeah. But then there's another kind. And it's almost like it's a roll. Almost like, you know, a dessert egg roll kind of thing. And so what it is that you have this like either mascarpone or some kind of nougat or something. And then it's rolled up in nuts and they have different flavors. So they had s'mores, they had Oreo, you know, some of the, you know, very, you know, modern kind of flavors. So
like the traditional, I want to go back now and try Oreo.
Yes. So, and you can buy them, like I said, in the Spice Market, in the Grand Bazaar, they've got little shops everywhere. So it really is something to bring home. Although my mom stuck it in her carry-on and they were like, what is this? TSA was like, what is this? It's Turkish delight. It's exactly what it says on, and it was shrink wrapped. So, and then they also have a very Middle Eastern population as well. So you've also got lots of kebabs and things such as that. And I've had baklava a couple of times. This was the best baklava I think I've ever had, because a lot of times it's kind of gooey and I really don't like it gooey. It's sticky and all, but this was crisp. So the phyllo dough was not like just soaking in honey.
It was still fresh.
A little crisp on the outside, and it was extremely fresh.
The word is fresh. You're looking for it.
Yes. So it wasn't like they dipped it in honey solution. They actually had, it was fresh and it was still crispy on the top. And oh my gosh, it was so yummy.
You're making me so hungry.
Yes. So we tried a couple of different things. We did have one that was, it was honestly kind of like a burrito, but it had lamb and beef in it, with purple cabbage in it. So it was interesting, but it was very tasty.
You're making me want a kebab. Yeah.
And they came in different flavors. So you had spicy kebabs, you had regular kebabs, you had kebabs in pit with pistachios, you had ones with walnuts. There was probably 30 different varieties of kebabs that you could want, including vegan and vegetarian.
That's cool.
They have some of the best coffee in the world. How much did you bring home? And did you bring some for me?
No, I didn't bring any coffee home. I don't drink coffee.
Oh, so wasted.
I brought dessert home. I brought Turkish delight home.
Did you even try it while you were there?
But I tried the tea many times. It was strong and a little bitter, and
it depends on what kind of tea, because they have an apple tea too that's actually on the sweeter side.
Really good. That was good, but at the restaurants and for breakfast and all, they always serve the black tea.
So I would have been interested to see what a non-coffee drinker thought about their coffee, because it's been a while, but I'm just remembering it being, because at that point in my life, I wasn't really a coffee drinker. Mm-hmm. And that's the coffee that was like, okay, now I need to drink more coffee. That's the coffee that kind of made me kind of go down the.
You should have requested some when you found out she was going.
Yeah,
If I sent you guys my shopping list every time, we should just start a little thread in our.
Yeah, there you go.
Channel, like,
but hey, they did also. So this is an interesting little factoid. Smoking is pretty much banned inside. But they have hookah bars mm-hmm. all over the place. But usually they're, the hookahs are sitting on like a porch. So you can actually do the hookahs outside, but not on the inside.
God, hookahs are everywhere now.
It's such a big thing in every country right now. I mean, it's sweeping the youth in.
I mean, they had them. I was just in Miami last weekend and they, hookah bars on Lincoln Avenue.
Yep.
I really need like someone needs to start like an old age. Didn't they used to have like oxygen bars?
They have those in Colorado.
Need a transfusion and IV bag. Not because you've been drinking, but because life is hard. I need one of those bars.
So I have one more question about what the city was like. How would you say it is if people have accessibility issues? Like if they can't walk a lot or even wheelchair friendly at all?
I didn't think so, but it was a long time ago.
I would say wheelchairs, probably not. Mm-hmm. However, my mom is what they called a gentle walker. And she quit usually by middle of the day. She couldn't quite do the afternoon. And mm-hmm. I basically dropped her off at the hotel and then I went back out. It's not so much, I mean, there are stairs and things like that. And there are a few ramps, especially with the big tourist areas like the Blue Mosque and Hagia Sophia and Topkapi Palace that one wasn't great. But the problem is more the cobblestones. In the old city, you have lots and lots of cobblestones, even on the sidewalks. And so it's very uneven. So if you have problems with balance and things like that, I would probably not recommend it. But some of the hotels did have some handicap accessibilities, not the hotel we were in, but there are some out there. And that's probably if you got to the newer section where the cruise ships are and the newer hotels, you're going to find more of that. But in the old city, that is not where I would put you if you had any issues.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. Not surprising with all the old buildings and stuff. So.
Yes. Well, my mom was having more trouble with the streets mm-hmm. and the uneven pavements and things like that more than anything.
So is there anything else we missed that you want to mention?
Not that I know of, but I would definitely go. And if you can have a really, a 5-hour layover probably would not be enough to actually get into the city. But if you had like a 10-hour layover, you could definitely go see something.
Do it overnight. Take an overnight layover.
Well, yes, yeah. I would definitely do that. But because there aren't really many hotels near the airport at all. It's so new that they haven't really built out that far. So you really have to drive in for like 45 minutes to get to the hotels and everything and stay there and then basically come back the next day. Nice. So if you decide to take Turkish Air, take the long layover.
Cool. All righty. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. On behalf of Donna, George, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.